Good morning and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. The captivity of Israel, the northern 10 tribes based in Samaria and Ephraim, was at hand. God was pleading with the nation, saying, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. They will earnestly seek me. And in our text in Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Lord basically gives the words and the desire of the heart that he wishes to hear from his wayward children. He has given Israel many chances to return to him. Indeed, God is very patient with those he calls to repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord, our God, our Savior, will bear with men, and then he will bear with them some more. For those who are truly his, there is no loss of salvation, for he cannot deny himself. But for the child of God who chooses sin, there is divine discipline. And so long as that child clings to his own will, to his self-righteousness, to his pride, that individual can expect misery on earth and a loss of peace. But praise be to God that he has left his peace with us, and that that peace is available to each and every one of us in full measure. Now, for those who reject God and Jesus his Christ, there will come a day where time will run out and there will be no remedy. The unbeliever hangs over the fires of hell by a thread. And the Lord only wishes that that one would take the nail-printed hand while he can. In this sermon, I hope that if there are any here who are looking for a way back to the Lord, that they will find it. There are times in our lives, in our Christian pilgrimage, where we struggle to do that. And so, this morning we're going to be working through our text along three lines: repentance, revival, and revelation. Repentance. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. Return to the Lord. That implies that one was following God and had later departed from doing so. The Lord counsels the church. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Now, in that context, the context of that scripture in the book of Revelation, this means that if a church will not put first things first, will not put the Great Commission first, then Jesus will close its doors. But for the individual Christian, the application is that if you will not put Jesus first in your life, he will not be able to shine his light through you. And you will continue to waste your time and energy, and you will miss God's purposes for your life. The Lord has torn and stricken many of his saints for the purpose of chastisement. You have drifted away from peace, and you have fallen prey to anxiety and depression. But is it not a good thing for your Father in heaven to seek and to reclaim you? Our God, Jesus Christ, specializes in the lost and found ministry. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. So when the Lord corrects us, when the Lord brings us back, we have evidence of the great love that God has for us personally and individually. Is Jesus the great physician not in the business to heal us and to bind us up? A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." There are no supply chain issues between the Father who hears our prayers, the Son who heals our souls and bandages our wounds, and the Spirit who leads us into the glorious liberty of God's children. Therefore, by the grace of God, he equips us. He gives us everything we need to experience spiritual revival. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the 3rd day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Restoration, revival, and resurrection. Now we recall that in the Gospel of John, Jesus himself has said, "The scriptures testify of me." And he also said of his own resurrection, "The 3rd day he will be raised up." And Hosea also says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. And Paul, in the New Testament, applies that scripture to Christ's victory over death in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter about the resurrection of our Lord. And so we come back to the text where we read, after 2 days he will revive us, on the third day he will raise us up. And yet some will say that Christ's resurrection is foreign to the context of our text. Be that as it may, what then if we wish to ascribe the glory to the firstborn from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord, and glory in his resurrection, in his victory over death, as we read God's word? There are many Christians nowadays who need to be revived. They're on life support. They're in a spiritual coma. This is why we've been doing these tent revivals these last couple of years. We've got another one coming up. We just firmed up the date, May the 15th, our spring revival right outside here in the parking lot. And that's a time where folks can come and hear the gospel. They can come and they can get saved. Folks can turn back to the Lord. And Christians can get excited about what God is doing and get set back on track as to what they ought to be doing. The Savior God, who raised himself up, can surely raise you up, my friend. On the third day, he will raise up us up, the scripture says. Though your bones be dry and brittle, and your faith be faint. Now, the Apostle Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, it is only because of the Savior's work that we well say with Hosea, that we may live in his sight. Finally, Revelation. Do you wish to get out of your sin pattern? To stop doing what you are doing? To learn a better way? Maybe you're like Paul, and whatever you want to do, you don't do. And you do things, and you wish you hadn't done them. Romans 7. And we all struggle with the flesh. But the Spirit of God is strong, my friends. And he will give you all of the aid that you need to get back to or to stay on the faithful path of continual revival in God's sight, if you want to. Will all this congregation rise up as one man today and say with Hosea, let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Where do you go for your information? You know, years ago, I was working with a young man, and he got this new thing on his phone, and the thing's talking to him and all this stuff that these phones do nowadays. And I said, "Well, what is this thing you got?" And he says, "Oh, it's called Siri." He says, "It has all the information that I need to know. If I need to know anything about anything, all I got to do is ask Siri. Give me the answer." So I said, "Well, let me see that. I want to ask Siri a question." So I said, "Siri, I am a sinner and I would like to know how to get to heaven." And it gave me some, you know, the thing, some answer like a politician might give you. It didn't answer the question. That thing would not answer me any more than the idols of wood and stone would answer the children of Israel who had drifted off looking for some other source of knowledge than the God of Israel back in the day. And then recently at a family gathering, we're playing Scattergories. We play Scattergories, and people like myself will give these outlandish answers to things. I'll just come up with that are just like a total stretch because I know I can't win the game, so sometimes I make stuff up. So to determine the validity of the questionable answers, we got this thing, Alexa. Okay, this thing, Alexa, is going to clarify, and it's going to determine whether that answer is a legitimate answer. And, you know, some of them were, you know, I was about 50-50 and, you know, in my ridiculous responses here. But when you'd ask Alexa to clarify, half the time, the answer was nonsense. The thing is giving you information that had nothing to do with what you're even trying to get at. It's irrelevant to the question. But my point here, friends, is that we've got the Bible. We've got the Word of God, and the Bible is a no-nonsense book. Anything you need to know for anything is in its pages. And if it's not specifically there, the principles are there that are going to get you to your answer. So if you want to know anything necessary, mine its pages. The scripture says of itself, and I am sure many others here can testify that this is true, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The fool attempts to try to repent and revive apart from the living word and the written word. Whenever we see real revival in God's word, it's always according to a coming back to the word of God. It's not about loud music and smog machines. It's about the book. We always come back to the book. Even the little child knows, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Do you know the love of God? Do you know what kind of life God wants you to live? Do you know that you're worrying and you're fretting and you're ogling the ladies are great offenses in the sight of God? Now, I've asked you these three questions. There are five scripture references among those in the related scripture section list in your bulletin. Look them up. Pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Friend, the times of ignorance are past. It is time to follow Jesus. It is time for real revival to dawn in our hearts. It is time to seek and to receive the nourishment of the Word of God and its spiritual blessings. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the prophets. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Though the days are dark, and though the living may be hard, you are here to serve the Lord in such a time as this. And if you have not believed upon the only begotten Son of the Father, all that the Lord invites you to do is to admit that you're a sinner. To admit that as a sinner that you need a Savior. To believe that God has provided that Savior, his Son, God himself, whom he sent into the world to shed his sinless blood as payment for your sins. And that the Father has accepted that once for all sacrifice. That the Son, having made that payment for sin once for all, was risen from the dead. He took up his own life again. And he is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, waiting for you to say, "Lord, I believe. Make a home in heaven for me." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the great gospel. We thank you for all that you have done, continue to do, and will do for us. We pray, Lord, that if there are any who are sensitive to the leading of your Spirit this morning, whether it be for the need of salvation, the need to come back because of a conviction of sin, or simply one who is on the right path, reading and studying and heeding the Word of God, who needs affirmation, Lord, that you'll speak to each man and woman, young and old, here this morning. May all things be unto your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.